The gospel of grace is not going to be popular. Paul talked about being left with nobody. I mean, he was left alone and all the people that grasped his truth. But on the reverse side, if we're not careful, there are a lot of people that love to not be popular too. For a reason, or they long to be different. And the issue isn't that we're different because, hey, it's something that's cool, or it's something that's popular, or the difference is that we're not popular. The issue is what's your motivation for why you're here today? The issue, and to me, the motivation should be simply the Word of God and the truth of God that changes in us for who we are, regardless whether it's cool because we're not popular or it's cool because we are popular. Whether we grow to 300 people or whether we grow to, say, 16 or 15 or whatever, I don't really care if my motivation is the issue of the Word. That's why we've been going through 1 Corinthians a lot, is to realizing that a lot of these people fit in where we are today. And just a couple things in starting I thought would just be good to reflect on before I keep going. We talked about last week the fact that God is not reigning today on this earth. And a lot of people today saying, are on Facebook or sending text messages praying for the kingdom. You know, what they don't understand, they're not going to be here when that takes place. They're just not. Okay? But the issue is, a lot of times, is there's a lot that goes in our life because we hear, and the motivation is not the Word of God, the motivation is about what somebody says. So what we've seen so far in 1 Corinthians, we got to understand a few things. Okay? Number one, there were over 10,000 instructors. And if Paul had a concern with these other 10,000 instructors, who do you think those instructors were naming? They were naming the name of Jesus. Right? Paul, you talked this morning on the fact that when they named the name of Jesus, the issue was it was a different gospel. What else was going on there? Well, there were a lot of people from Athens, right? So you know what they had mixed into the church, don't you? You had a group of people that had a mix of idols in the church. They were praying to goddesses. You know what else is going on in 1 Corinthians? They had people that the issue dealt with sexual sins. When we get to chapter 5, you're going to find out that the issue didn't bother them. I mean, there was a lot of junk going on that's going on today. What else was the issue? How about they were following man? I mean, in four chapters of what we call chapters of Corinthians, you see another issue. They were following men. There were people that were motivated, and their issue was filled with other things, right? And that was an issue. And Paul had a problem because he went there, and these people grasped the gospel of grace, okay? But more than anything else, they had now, because of other things in front of them, they had left. They left the faith. A lot of people will see that issue in the Word of God. Paul will mention leaving the faith. And that's where a lot of Pentecostals say, see, you can lose your salvation. Well, the issue wasn't salvation. These people were already saved. They left the faith of the gospel and started following another gospel that wasn't a gospel at all. Now, it used to be in some instances when if they were following Judaism, they were following the law, but that was taken care of. The issue was leaving your faith, leaving what you're indoctrinated to believe and also to share. And that was an issue that Paul had because these people had become popular, they had become pumped up, and Paul says, man, I wish you were right. I'd be right there with you. But they weren't. And today, let me tell you what, I wish some of these places were right, but they're not. And the Word of God is not their motivation. And that's by how we're saved, and that's by how we're grown today. Whether it's something you like, or something you feel is neat, or whether it moves you emotionally, doesn't make it true. All it does is it moves you emotionally to the fact that it can deceive you of not knowing the truth. Hey, look, I like going out and eating. I like seeing movies. I like hanging out with you guys. But if that becomes the principle of why we're here, then we are missing the issue. And that's what goes on today. Mark had mentioned this morning about program after program. I'm all for a program if it helps you learn. But if we make it the issue and the most important thing, we miss the point. You got to make the main thing, and that's the Word of God. And so, you know, there are good things out there to help people, to motivate people, to teach people.
But if you can't back up everything they say with the Word of God as the truth, then it will deceive. Now, I've said it before, you add one thing, just one thing, to truth, it's no longer truth. Whether you like it or not, it can't be truth anymore. That's one thing I love about the word truth. It's the only thing you can't add to it. You can't say almost true. You can't say more true. Yeah, you can't say that's more true than such. Sorry, true is true. You can't take one thing away from the truth and it be true anymore. Right? And God does not need your help in figuring out what He said. So why don't we take the word for what it says? Well, that's the issue today. 10,000 instructors, you had a lot of worldly wisdom. Everybody came to see these people and see Greek mythology. It all came from here. And the issue was the idols. We got idols all in our churches. Somebody name me one thing that's an idol. What stands usually on top of the church?
Steeple.
Follow the history of the steeple. I'm just telling you. There's idol worship everywhere. Okay? All the money to what people wanted, what people liked, what moved the flesh. Following man. Even those men that were right. They made them the important thing, and the Word wasn't important anymore. The point that it causes you to leave the faith. If you make anything else more important than the Word of God, you will leave your faith. It's not saying you won't be saved. Christ took care of salvation. It was done at the cross. If you trust in that alone, you're saved. But it'll take care of whether you're separated or not. There's salvation and there's separation. And we have a calling on our life of what to do, right? Well, last week we talked about people today think that God is ruling and reigning on this earth. Well, if He does, I'd be dead. Because I'd done been judged. Right? When He judged the hearts of man, we're going to be burned up. Everything but what Christ is in me. So we don't need to miss that. And we talked about that a little bit last week that I thought was important for us to see. Tell you what, go to 2 Corinthians. And I'll tell you what, instead of that, go to Ephesians 3:8. Go to Ephesians 3:8. We'll start there. Jamie had brought a couple things to me after I preached last week that I thought we don't need to miss. Because I had made mention, some of y'all looked at me with kind of some bug eyes or some talk with headlights, but you got to understand, the reason I mentioned that our issue is in spiritual things, okay, and why when we die and leave this world, we're going to heavenly places, is there is a position for us. And today, do you realize the angels of God that look at us, and also the principalities of darkness that look at us, still have things that are hidden from them that is manifested when you are walking in the Spirit, doing those things that Christ has called you to do. Today, when you walk this earth and you minister and the manifestation of Christ is on you, you know who looks at the hidden things of God and see that still don't know? Angels. You realize, a lot of times we think, well, then it's not that important to be here. You manifest the hidden wisdom to angels that God hid not only from man before the world began, but from angels. You've got to understand this. That's going to be your role in heavenly places, of doing the things that the angels were doing. I mean, you want to know what your position is? Well, we'll look at it. Go to Ephesians 3:8. In Ephesians 3:8, the Word of God says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Well, if people could preach what Paul preached before, could he call them the unsearchable riches of Christ? No. They were unsearchable. And they were given to Paul, and it was the grace message. And he says in verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God." Well, if Paul says that it was given to him, and it was unsearchable, and it was a mystery, and it had been hidden in God before the world began, could Peter, James, John, and all of them teach what Paul taught?
It ain't possible, or this Bible's a lie, we might as well go to Josh's right now. Right? The word either means what it says, or it's wrong. Right? And so Paul says this here, look what he says. Had been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Another thing here, part of the Trinity, if anybody wants to disagree with the Trinity, who created all things? Jesus Christ did. A lot of people thinking God spoke with you. Yeah, that was Jesus Christ that had the plan. They spoke it before it ever became. They knew what they were going to do. And it was created not by God the Father, but by Jesus Christ. So He was all the way at the beginning. That's why when you see the Trinity, it says what? The Spirit was moving over the waters. Who do you think that Spirit was? See, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son were together at the very beginning, before the world began. And they had a mystery they kept secret, the hidden things of God that was given to Paul for you to understand grace. That's the fact. That's why we rejoice in the fact there's nothing within me that I have to do in order to worry or to consider my salvation. It's the fact that Christ was faithful and I count on that for my salvation. You can't take it away from me because I didn't do it. He did it. You better count on that. But in Ephesians here, I didn't mean to go this way, but every time I say these words, I just think it's important for us to take note. Look at verse 10. Why did Paul say everything that he just said? It was to the intent for something. There was an intention for why what was done with Paul. He says, to the intent that now. That don't mean in things to come, does it? That don't mean that. To the intent that how it used to be. Because it was hidden, right? But he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers whereat in heavenly places might be known by what? The church. Is this the church, the Jerusalem church? No, because this stuff was hidden from them. To the church, which is the body of Christ, that's you. Okay? It says, that might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So when you live your life as a Christly life, when you live your life following what was given to Paul, the mystery, when you give to others the dispensation of the grace of God, knowing that you are an ambassador, you represent, you are a servant, when you are given those things as a minister of reconciliation, by the way, that's a big word, reconciliation, so let's get it right. It ain't that you need to lead people to the altar to pray a certain prayer. It ain't that you need to take people and you need to dunk them in water. It ain't that you need to tell them to follow the law of Moses. The ministry of reconciliation was for all to know that Christ forgave all. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That you are the righteousness of God because of Christ. And whenever you share that and people get that and you live that, you know what happens? The angels, the principalities in heavenly places go, wow. That's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it? To know that it's not just people walking around. But this thing was planned. This thing was planned when? Before the world began, by God Almighty, the Father, by Jesus Christ, who came out of heaven to die on the cross to make sure this plan continued. And we say we don't need to make much of Paul when Jesus Christ planned before the world began to give this to the Apostle Paul. Just as much as important it was for Moses to get the Ten Commandments so that Israel would know they're a chosen generation. Are they still a chosen generation? They absolutely are not now, but they will be. You think God would allow Israel to fall and not become a kingdom of priests? Absolutely not. It's going to happen. But first, what are we going to do? We're going to be sitting in heavenly places, doing those things under the manifold wisdom of God, watching it all happen. That verse 8 is huge if you want to know what you're going to be doing. Or, let me say it better, if you know what you're doing right now, that you reveal those things, the manifold wisdom of God. That's amazing to me. And that is the fact, you don't think you have something to rejoice in if you're not welcomed here, or you don't fit in here, or maybe this just you know, this just ain't popular or it ain't as fun. Do you see the bigger picture? You not only minister to people, you minister the manifold wisdom of God to angels, to principalities. So, you know, do you see why the issue with us today is not about physical things? Israel was physical. Physical. They had to do this in order to get this. They had to do this. You know what you do? Yours is spiritual. It's Christ in you. And you show the hidden wisdom of God when you live Christ's life. I don't know about you, but that's heavy. That's a big responsibility that we have that a lot of times we don't think about through our day. That we need to understand that Christ is living in us. But you know what we do? Just like Corinthian people, we fall in love with teachers. Right? We get motivated by coaches. You know what else we do? We put other things in front of us that's a lot more fun than the Word of God physically. To the point that if you just go in a Christian bookstore and look at the pictures, look at the CD cases. Who do you think they represent? Let me tell you what, they spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to make sure when somebody picks up that case that the guys go, wow. Or the girls go, wow. Go to just, and I'm talking about not things of the world, go to a religious concert. Look on TV and tell me them guys aren't soap opera stars. That they're not hot. I'm just talking how people talk whether you like it or not. Right? We're motivated by things that we see with our eyes. What's the Word of God say about our faith? How is it? It's not with our eyes, is it? Isn't that amazing? But we are so turned around by basing everything physical that we can't even uncover the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and things. I just think we've got our direction turned around the wrong way. And I can see so much more what Paul says in this letter when he says, ooh, you're somebody. And he's being sarcasm here. And he warns them. He rebukes them. He reproofs them. They're missing the mark. You know what they're doing the whole time? The whole time. You know what they're doing? All this stuff here. The shadows of the cross. You can't even see it anymore. It's as though Christ just wasted his time. Somebody had a plan for you. I mean, you've got a major responsibility. So don't think that, well, we're covered by grace. Live it up. You can. But don't you think people in this world today need to be ministered to? Absolutely. And you know what? They ain't going to like you for it or they're going to love you for it. There's no middle ground. If you just kind of get along with society, with the message that you have, something's amiss. You're either going to tick them off or they're going to fall in love with you because they see the truth. Or you're not uncovering the manifold wisdom of God. That's what we talked about last week when we closed. Paul says you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for His name's sake. That's why, doesn't Paul suffer? And he said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not popular. I wish it was. It'd be great. But let's face it, we've got too many other things that cause people to leave their faith. That was in Ephesians 3:8. I didn't mean to spend nearly that long on that. But we reveal the hidden wisdom of God and manifest it to angels. These angels look into, in other words, these angels look into what we do. Why? Because we will one day rule these in heavenly places. Just something that's kind of similar, just to give you an idea, and we're not going to get into it deep, but I just think it's a neat verse that I ran across. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at 9 and 10. We'll get to here. This is just interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9 and 10 says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now look at verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of who? Because of angels. You see, the angels don't need to look upon the woman. The angels look upon the man because the woman was created for man to be a helpmeet. Isn't that interesting? The Word of God is so perfect all the way down. I just think it's an awesome thing. It shows the position of the lady to help. So you're creating things that I can't do, but all these things are these positions. And we'll get into that later. I just thought it was kind of an interesting scripture. Another interesting thing, I'll tell you what, go to Ephesians... go to Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's what. It's not just the angels, but today, who rules and reigns? Principalities of darkness, right? You uncover the manifold wisdom of God today to those. All those things. All those things. We have a great responsibility. We do. It is on display. I tell you what, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is some neat scriptures of where we dealt with last week. To me, as we read this letter, it just keeps uncovering things that are so similar to the world today. But now let's be fair. Okay, let's just be fair. Okay? We've got the completed Word. Everything we need, we have. Is that right? Everything we need. You got to understand these people that Paul was having an issue with. I'm going to write it. These people that Paul was having an issue with did not have the completed Word. They were still waiting on things to happen to edify the church, to give them doctrine, to show them how to be. There were still signs. There were still things that were going on here. Right? I mean, there were some things that they didn't have that we have. We really don't have the excuse that they had. Right? So you got to understand that too. Okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made what? There's that word again, manifest in our body. So that means that is spiritual comes out. Although we live a physical life and we have to eat and we have to do things and Christ lives in us and it manifests itself out of us, right? Look at verse 11. For we which live are always, notice that word, always. I always want to say always, like somebody messed up, but no. It says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. How? Is flesh important? Absolutely not. It's mortal, isn't it? In our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Now this word always isn't always. The word always means all the way through. See how perfect the Word of God is? It's not like always happens, but when He says always, that means from the point that you're saved, all the way through to the mortality of the death of your flesh. Think the flesh is important? Because the flesh ain't an issue, the Spirit is. The Spirit, the Christ in you. And it goes, it works all the way. Not always, but all the way through. From point A to point B, till you're perfected in Christ, receiving a heavenly body, doing spiritual things in heavenly places, sharing the manifold wisdom of God. And today, all over America, there are people standing up at a stadium telling people to come where they can heal them in Jesus' name. Let me tell you what. They still got handicapped parking places in the front of their building. Something's a problem. They shouldn't have those, should they? There's a problem today in society. We're covered with things that instructors want to teach you that you can do and motivate you. And so you believe in that stuff. And that's why Paul's writing these letters to these people, because they've shadowed the preaching of the cross, which is foolishness to the world, isn't it? But to those that are saved, those that believe, it is salvation, right? I'm telling you, this is not popular.
This stuff is. And it causes you to leave your faith every time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9.
For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. I think physical is important here. For we are made a spectacle unto the world. Who else? And to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Do you see what the sarcasm that Paul uses here? He said, you guys have turned religion around. You've got your denominations, your doctrines, and all these other things, and the cross of Christ is not important. Do you not see this today, in our daily life today? This lived out. People walk like they are somebody, don't they? People today, look at us. They've covered the Word. This stuff is important. So these people were honored, and Paul wasn't. As we continue on, and look at verse 11. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You think you're today, if you follow Paul, you're going to be popular? It's not going to happen. Paul was imploring them to be reconciled to God in this letter. My question is, are you willing to be looked at the same way? Are you? Being wise to this world will not get you far, will it? If you go to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the wisdom of the world. Walk in the correct doctrine, I'm telling you, it's going to happen the same way. Do you think Paul tried? Do you think Paul made it popular and he tried to be this way? You think he got up thinking, I'm going to suffer for Christ today, like he got excited about it? A lot of people think, well, you got to suffer for Jesus, brother. You know, you always hear, you know what? Let me tell you something. Paul didn't try to be this way. It came to him. When you unveil the manifold wisdom of God that the world doesn't like, and you understand your position, it will come to you. Won't it? It will. Unless you're not willing to live the same way. But you know what's sad about that? You won't be able to glory in the sufferings of Christ. And so we'll miss the blessing of other lives that can be changed. And will allow other people to either that have gotten it to leave the faith, or other people to never be able to see the cross for what it was for. We have a big responsibility. To be such a small group, we have a very large responsibility. So we don't need to walk away thinking this grace thing is just whipped up, man, we got it made now. You can. I promise you, if you do, you'll leave the faith. What's indoctrinated you and saved your life, you'll forget about. And you'll be miserable because everything you do here will be burnt up. Every bit of it will be a waste and a ruins. All you'll have before you in front of Christ alone is your salvation. Wouldn't that be sad when He created before the world began for you to show the manifold wisdom of God to not only to man, but to principalities, to angels? I mean, that's big stuff. That's big stuff. You can either fit in with religion, or you can unveil the manifold wisdom of God.